Hi, and welcome back to the Polaris Travel Health Podcast. Thanks for tuning in with us this week. This week, Jaden and I will be discussing traveling to India.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are eager to visit for the first time or are considering returning to visit family or friends or anything like that for the first time in a while because of COVID. When you have people come into the clinic for a pre-travel health consultation, what would you say a common itinerary is?
I think there are probably a few really common itineraries. Probably the most common one is people going back to go visit friends and family back home, back where they're from. We also definitely see business travelers, people going for various work things. Although I would say that a lot of that stuff is IT computer related. So I think that a lot of that has been supplanted by Zoom and stuff these days. And then we're still definitely seeing people that are going to do, you know, I guess you define them as more, you know, spiritual quests. You know, I know we did had an appointment last week. Someone was going to an ashram for a month to, you know, meditate and stuff. And we've had people go for yoga clinics and learn how to teach yoga and stuff. So I would say that those are probably the three main type of things we see.
Cool. What are the travel restrictions looking like for Canadian travelers?
Okay, well, Jaden, you did the research on this, and I'm guessing that it's all still active. Everything's been changing right now. I think the point of research here was fully vaccinated travelers from Canada are exempt from a PCR test. But if you don't have a complete series of vaccines, you need a PCR test within 72 hours of your flight before you can get into India. And you also have to do a declaration certificate that you have no symptoms. But there's no specific quarantine required at this point in time. But, you know, this is all very fluid. As we're recording this right now, that there was just a beep on my phone, which might have been picked up by the microphone. And I can see it says that a lot of the vaccine restrictions for flights within Canada are changing right now. So everything is kind of in flux still.
Definitely. Yeah. No, closer to anyone's travel time, you'll definitely have to check on that. But as far as I'm concerned, that seemed to be the theme as of right now. But moving from there to some other travel health concerns, what sort of travel vaccinations are generally recommended for those planning a trip to India?
I think there's a few things you have to think about right away. Like the first two really obvious ones, from a travel health perspective, would be hepatitis A and typhoid. And I also think hepatitis B would be a good call as well, although a lot of people have already had that as part of their kid shots. Just to sort of reiterate what those are about, if you've been listening to our podcast, you probably have a bit of an idea what we're talking about. But hepatitis A is a viral infection transmitted by contaminated food and water. And you basically get it from someone who didn't wash their hands after they went to the washroom, and maybe they handled your food, you touched the food, or they touched the food, you eat the food, and you're exposed. It, like I said, it attacks the liver, and it is not part of the kid shots we get in school here in Canada. And typhoid fever is also an infection that is transmitted from contaminated food and water. This is same method of transmission, you know, cleanliness and bathroom hygiene, that sort of thing. Bacterial infection, really present in a lot of places in the world, but certainly in the sort of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, like South Asia areas, would be considered the highest risk areas really we have in the world for getting this. And it's definitely not part of the kid vaccination program here in Canada, because, you know, there's no local transmission of typhoid in this part of the world. So those would be two things that we look at. And hepatitis B, this is a viral infection that attacks your liver, and it's more through blood, body fluids, that sort of thing. So the risk is not quite as incidental as for the other two, but certainly would be something worth contemplating and probably wanting to check that box.
Definitely. Okay. What about mosquito-borne illnesses, something like malaria? What type of risk exists for that?
Well, there's definitely malaria risk in this part of the world. We know right now that it's a very diverse place. There's lots of different areas where the geography is different, the altitude is different, the how jungly it is different. But if you're going to a lot of lower elevations, there is need for anti-malarial drugs. And the spread is usually highest during the June to September window, which is monsoon season, when is probably the worst time for mosquitoes in general. So definitely it would be a consideration. Now, we see people going to maybe right into New Delhi and into the downtown areas of New Delhi, the risk for malaria might not be quite as high. And then the other thing we'll see is people going to northern India where it's higher altitude, and even into some of the other areas in the north and even in the south, where during the cooler seasons, the risk is probably diminished. You know, when I even think of going to areas like in the Punjab, for example, where we see a lot of Canadians going back to visit family, there's definitely a concern more so during the wetter, warmer months, as opposed to in the winter, where the risk is probably less so.
Right. And what about things like dengue, chikungunya, Zika, those types of mosquito-borne illnesses?
Oh, absolutely. Like dengue, I think if you're going to get a mosquito illness on this trip, if you're going, dengue is probably top risk. We know that areas, you know, in Delhi, Mumbai, as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, dengue, it loves the city. It loves garbage and standing water in sort of a like an empty lot, something like that. That's its dream destination. And certainly we do see a lot of dengue in cities and throughout the country. All we really have is insect precautions, bug spray precautions. So definitely want to take advantage of doing that. We know that there's definitely risk of chikungunya as well. May not be as high in the number standpoint as with dengue, but it's still definitely there. Zika's probably something to talk about if you're pregnant or planning on becoming pregnant. There are a couple areas where we maybe are more concerned, but you know, that is only sort of a subset. There's no active outbreaks right now where we would really consider there to be a really heightened risk of Zika at this time.
Right. And what about things like yellow fever or Japanese encephalitis?
So there's no yellow fever in India, and you don't require a yellow fever vaccination card unless you're coming from a country that has yellow fever. So if you're traveling from Canada, for example, and you do a trip, like a lot of common ways to get there would be flying across the Pacific. Maybe you land in Hong Kong, maybe you land someplace along the way, Korea, Japan. You're not going through any yellow fever countries, no problem. If you're going the other way across the Atlantic and you land in Germany or London or something like that, one of those locations, and then you fly over to India, you don't have to worry about yellow fever vaccination. And as far as something like Japanese encephalitis, there is definitely a risk in some areas, mostly agricultural areas. The Assam, Bihar, Uttar Pradesh, and West Bengal states are probably the highest risk areas. And this, again, is seasonal. The further you go south, the longer the season would be that the mosquitoes are active. So in northern areas, it would be more seasonal. And then south, it would be a bit more year-round.
Right. Okay. What other types of concerns might somebody have, say, if they're an adventure traveler or are doing other types of activities, just kind of generally?
I think the first thing you want to think about on this trip is traveler's diarrhea. There's definitely a risk there. We know that a lot of developing countries, traveler's diarrhea is a concern. But what we typically have found is that even in relatively sophisticated restaurants and accommodations, this is definitely a risk. So I would advise people typically to take some antibiotics with them, get them prescribed, and take them with them. And if they have severe diarrhea, they start taking them. Imodium, loperamide is always a good thing to stop you short term, plug you up. And a product like Dukoral, which is a traveler's diarrhea cholera vaccine, that's something where it's a layer of protection. It probably cuts your risk of getting sick down by maybe a third. It's no magical cure, but when I start thinking about a trip like this, I would be far more inclined to recommend it for someone going to India as opposed to, say, going to hang out for a week in Cancun, for example. So I think I would think about that. Another thing worth mentioning would be rabies. We know that there certainly are monkeys and dogs all around, and we know that the chances of rabies is significant. So it's not always necessarily indicated if you're not doing things from an occupational standpoint with animals. But if you are going to remote locations, you may want to think about it, doing adventure travel, getting the pre-exposure rabies vaccines. Definitely, though, if you ever got yourself into a situation where any of these animals bit or scratched you, you'd want to wash the area like crazy with soap and water and seek medical attention right away, because certainly rabies is very fatal and would be something I would be concerned about. Also, I guess the other thing I would think about is tuberculosis. Now, we know that tuberculosis is relatively common in India, and we know that some of the bacteria, TB bacteria, are multi-drug resistant. Actually, I do know somebody who did come back from India. This is way before I started the clinic. It was actually a colleague of mine. His son went to India to go find himself for a couple months, and he came back with, he had to be treated for tuberculosis. And the one thing to do there is you can do a tuberculin skin test. You can do one before departure and then upon return, and then you can test your status and see if you potentially have been exposed to tuberculosis. There isn't really a tuberculosis vaccine. There is one theoretically available in Canada. It's only indicated for babies. We don't have a vaccine, a general vaccine for traveling for adults.
Okay. If you were to require medical attention for any reason while on this kind of hypothetical trip that we're discussing, what might that look like?
I think right now, like there are in the major cities, there's pretty good medical care. If you have access to a credit card and foreign cash, you definitely have some options available. In theory, there are nearby locations, places like Bangkok, Thailand, or Singapore. But, you know, places like Mumbai and New Delhi, I think you can probably do pretty well from a medical care standpoint. I think if you're ever looking at prearranged medical visas, that can be something which gets a little bit more complicated on the type of visa you have. And there are some people that do go to this part of the world for medical care, specifically destination healthcare. So that can get a little bit more complicated and certainly something where I would advise checking your coverage and seeing what you have. And don't be surprised if you do need to go to a hospital or an expat clinic, you're going to have to pay and have your credit card cash available. Even if you have insurance, you should probably think that you're likely to be charged to some degree.
Definitely. Yeah, that seems to be a pretty common theme among different places that we've discussed recently. Okay, any safety or security concerns specifically to watch out for?
There are parts of India where Canadians are not recommended to travel at this point in time because of civil unrest in Kashmir and Jammu. There are in other border areas around the Pakistan-India border, for example, and also in the Myanmar border area, there's certainly concerns there, you know. So I think that going to these areas now, certainly sometimes you'll see people going to closer, you know, areas in the Punjab, which are relatively close to Pakistan. Certainly the real close border areas are a bit concerning. You know, last time I checked, both those countries have nuclear weapons now, right, Jaden? We could go off on a political bit on this, or maybe we'll just stick to travel health. It's certainly up in the area, I guess you would sort of define as a bit of a hot spot in the world. So I think I would be real careful from that standpoint. And also, I think other concerns we have would just be personal safety. You could potentially be viewed as a rich target and traveling in vehicles. You know, now we take Ubers everywhere and everything like that, but unregulated taxis and has long been a thing in India, and you have to be real careful. And another problem, which I know you had identified in the research, was about currency shortages. So there is potentially a lack of cash available. So, you know, you should have some cash available in smaller denominations to pay for things.
Definitely. I thought that was something that kind of was a bit unique that stuck out to me, that they were having this kind of like specific currency shortage. But it appears that in most places that the use of a credit card should be perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's interesting now how things have changed. You know, I know back in the day when I would travel to a bit more developing places, you know, cash was still very much king. It would be difficult even to buy things by credit card. And the thing was, ATMs were readily available everywhere, but so you just had to make stops at ATMs on a reasonably regular basis. But I think now credit cards are so universally accepted everywhere. I think it's much less of a concern now than it used to be.
Definitely. Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention or chat about? Anything that we missed?
Not really. I think that India is a pretty interesting place, and there's something for everyone there. And it's maybe not for everyone. There's a lot of people there. It's a real mass of humanity. I've heard that expression used by several people that have traveled there. But yeah, there's you can see and do a lot of different things, and it can be a really fulfilling travel place and very diverse. But yeah, when I think of eating and drinking, it is probably one of the riskier places to get traveler's diarrhea. And you know, I'd be worried about typhoid. We do see people come back. The only cases we really see in Canada of typhoid are from returning travelers. So it's always a concern. And yeah, dengue, bug-related things. There's no shortage of things to be thinking about for this trip. I don't think necessarily, you know, we've got rabies and Japanese encephalitis vaccines available. I generally think that those would not be all-purpose vaccines for everyone going to this part of the world, but it would be worthwhile having a conversation with your travel health provider about how much risk am I really at with, you know, should I get pre-exposure rabies vaccines? Should I get Japanese encephalitis vaccines? I would say right now that if you're doing a lot of trips where you're, say you're going to be in New Delhi, you're probably not going to run into too many of those scenarios. And if you do get bit by something, you will have access to medical care nearby. So, but that being said, if you're going off someplace in the middle of nowhere, that might be more of a consideration.
Definitely. Yeah. This is one of those episodes where I would really, you know, as much as we plug getting a travel health consultation, this is really one where I would say, if you have the opportunity to do so, definitely do it.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've kind of used this as a dumb example, but the other thing is too, people will talk a lot about, you know, I'm going to India, you know, what kind of vaccines would I need? Well, that's kind of like, I think I've used this analogy before, but that's kind of like saying somebody in India is saying, I'm traveling to Canada, what kind of clothes should I pack? It's a big country.
Exactly.
And the time of year and everything like that's quite relevant. And, you know, as far as all that sort of thing. So it's not one size fits all for sure. Although I would argue that Hep A and typhoid is pretty much universal, but
yeah, definitely. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it. I think that pretty much covers it. I always enjoy doing these destination ones. I think it's always fun to talk about some of these, and it is encouraging. We have been seeing people going back to India for either visiting family or, like I said, to go on some of these more spiritual quests that we've started to see those trips again. So that's encouraging.
Definitely. Yeah, I know a few people who've gone back to visit family recently, and I think that's great. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Polaris Travel Health Podcast. A reminder that the information and advice we provide in this podcast are not a substitute for live medical advice tailored to your itinerary and your medical history. If you have questions or you'd like to book an appointment, please head over to our website, www.polaristravelclinic.ca. Check us out on Twitter at PolarisTravelRx and our Facebook page as well. We hope you'll tune in again with us next week.
Thanks, Jaden.
Thank you.